Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Back for another week, another episode. I want to thank you for listening. For those of you that are first-time listeners, where you been? We're here from Studio 3D and excited to have a great guest on for this week. And before we get to this week's guest, and by the way, it's getting close to the end of the year. Now's a great time to be thinking about next year, to kind of get things going, whatever goals you may have for next year. Now is the time to get those things implementing so you hit the ground running. January 1st is not when you want to start with these goals. You want to start now. So let's turn it over to Meredith, and she's going to give you a 3D dentist update.
Hi, everyone. I have a review before we get started. This one says 5 stars, first of all, most important part. It's one of the better dental podcasts out there. T-Bone is a smart and practical person to listen to on changing your practice for the better.
Very nice.
But even more important for a podcast, he's like able and entertaining. His recommendations are helpful and wise to implement. I feel like he is more transparent than other podcasts in how he feels a practice should change for improvement.
That's right.
How kind.
That is very nice. And that's because I just screwed that up. But that's because I'm a transparent person, even though I'm brown.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
it's hard to be transparent when you're always winning, right? Yeah.
It's hard to be transparent when you're always winning.
Well, I'm not always winning. That's part of the problem.
Well, for an update on 3D Dentist, we had the most fun at our 3D Cup
golf tournament. Yeah, that was so much fun.
Speaking of winning, T-Bone's team won.
Again.
Shocker. Team JP. Shout out to them. To the winners.
I carried the team.
Okay. Your back hurt whole next week.
That was from something else, but yeah.
Walking all those.
Yeah.
Golfing.
Getting kicked out of my golf club.
Yeah, we're getting to the end of the year. Next year, we'll have some fun things like golf tournaments that are open, open registration. If you're not already doing implants, now is a great time. We only have a few spots left in our digital implant continuum. Starting in January and March, we will have live patients.
I want everybody to know there's live patients in that.
At both weekends.
Yeah.
So
live patients, extraction, grafting, and then live patients with guided implant placement. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, let's invite our guest on. This week, I am proud and happy to have a fellow brown person
thank you.
On today's podcast. I mean, why not?
This has been happening more recently.
Why? We've had brown people on recently?
Are people
going to complain that I'm bringing too many brown people on?
No, I think you're good.
I just want to know if I need to change things. We do live in a white people's world, you know? So, you know,
here I am to balance you guys out. Yeah. You should see the color balance on me and T-Bone.
Yeah, clearly.
I'm so pale.
I mean, if it goes from light to dark.
Yeah, it really does. We're sitting in order.
Dimple Tijani is in Chicago, actually Allerton Heights, Illinois, which is outside of Chicago, and she is the owner of the Heights Dental Gallery. Dimple, how are you doing?
I'm great. It's great. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. You said this is way outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, it is.
Why?
It'll be okay. I'm not one to like speak openly or in public, but it's kind of nice to do this.
Well, your friend,
thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. Well, your friend said that you didn't like people.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Depends on the day, you know.
Yeah, like your friends. Too. Me too. Me too. I don't like people at many times either. You know, it's not good news. But so listen, I was listening in your reading on your website, and something caught my eye. And it said, quote, follow in my mom's footsteps.
Correct.
Tell us about that.
So my mom is a dentist, and she just retired, actually, March 12th at 70, on the last day that we were allowed to practice in Chicago when everything shut down for COVID.
Is that why she stopped, do you think?
Well, she retired. She tried to retire a couple of years ago, and then my father passed away, and then she got bored again and then went back to work.
Okay.
And then worked for another couple of years, and then it was her birthday on March 12th at 70, and it was the day that we shut down.
Was it planned or unplanned?
No, she just decided, you know, I'm done after this. But she practiced for a long time. So, and I admire her. Everything I've become and done is because of her. Yeah. So,
did you guys ever work together?
We didn't. Okay. We didn't.
So where was she practicing?
She was in the city. She worked with Public Aid since 1980.
Get out of here!
Yeah,
in Chicago.
In Chicago, in Public Aid.
That's like legit Public Aid.
She did. Yeah, she did it for. She started in 81, and she's been through multiple. At one point, she had three practices.
Her own practice, not Public Aid.
She was she was in medical clinics. But they were her private practices in there. So
wow.
Yeah.
So that's very different from what you're doing, though.
Very different. Yeah, which is why I didn't end up practicing with her, because I was actually more of the, you know, the suburban, traditional type of a practice that I wanted to
you're
be
You're soccer
in.
Mom.
I am a soccer. Well, yeah, I'm a lacrosse football mom, so
okay.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. All right. That's awesome. So, so you followed in your mom's footsteps.
Yes.
You guys never practiced together.
Never practiced together.
How did her type of dentistry influence you?
So I learned a lot of prosthetics from her. She's very good at dentures and extractions. That's kind of like was her bread and butter. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I went to work with her, you know, in the summers. I'd go there and do like her filing and her charting and all that kind of stuff.
Good Indian kids had to do
that. Yeah, I mean, I didn't really have a choice. It was either that or...
Resume building.
Hey, yeah. I did that too, and I'm not Indian.
Well, we did it to build college applications.
Right. Well,
my dad paid me.
I did not want to be a dentist, to be quite honest. I wanted to be a doctor, and dentistry was my backup.
Whoa!
It was my backup. I'm not going to lie.
Whoa. You, just so you know, we
That's
are
a sweet
doctors.
Spot for
we are doctors,
you know,
just
you
so
you
know.
Be a medical doctor.
He's married to a real doctor.
No, I'm not. She's just a psychiatrist.
That's actually what I wanted to do.
You want to do psychiatry?
I wanted to do psychiatry. I did.
Well,
yeah.
Now you spend plenty of time there, so
yeah,
you're fine.
Pretty much. I feel like that's what I
don't want my I don't want our listeners to think I'm being mean to you. We've known each other for a little bit, so I like making fun. You know, might as well. Yeah.
He also spends every day at a psychiatrist halfway.
Yeah, there you go. It's kind of nice.
Our office is half psychiatry.
So, well, she's not a great psychiatrist. Look at me. Clearly. She's not doing it.
She picks and chooses. She has built her practice where she can pick and choose her patients, and she does not choose you.
Well, that's okay. Was your mom hurt that you didn't want to do her style of dentistry?
No. I think she wanted me to do more of the traditional suburban, like build your own practice, do a little bit of everything, that sort of thing. So, and to be honest, I don't think I ever asked her. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
You know, my dad was, I believe my dad was a little disappointed in me that I didn't do a more traditional model like him. My dad was a dentist in India.
Oh, okay.
Never practiced here.
Okay.
But so he didn't expect me to work on the streets and stuff like Indian dentists.
Right.
But not that he worked in the military. But he wanted me to be a very insurance-driven, open 5, 6, 7 days a week.
Interesting.
You know, very typical, business-minded. You know, we grew up in cockroach motels, owning a cockroach motel. But so he wanted me to do that. But I think it took him a while to understand how I wanted to have a more
traditional.
I wouldn't even say more traditional. I wanted to have a practice that wasn't that was built on
being great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even want to say traditional. I wanted to be, it wasn't about money for me. It was about, I wanted to be recognized. I wanted to be good at what I did. You know, that was important to me. And it sounds like that's important to you.
Very much so.
Yeah. A leader in the community kind
of. It's hence why we struggle getting associates.
Yeah. We talked about this earlier.
So along that subject, what is it that you or and or your practice, what is it that you want it to be known for?
Caring, compassionate. No, but it's really that and kind of the best at my game.
Like okay.
A good dentist. I want people to be proud to tell somebody else that, hey, that's my dentist. She did this, or referring people, or, you know, I want to be known.
But how does one measure that? Because the reason, here's why I asked, Dimple.
Yeah.
Okay. Is I've never met a dentist who says they're not good. Okay, I've never met a dentist who doesn't say, well, we care about our patients. You know, I've never met a practice that doesn't say those things. And so, you know, I'm not saying you're not those things. Right. I'm just saying, how do we, you know, ultimately that's an internal, it's like beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right?
Sure.
So how do we measure, how do you measure that? And it's not even we, how do you measure I'm achieving that or I'm living up to this standard?
I think for me personally, I gauge it off of how my patients interact with me. Mm-hmm. If they tell me they had a great experience, if they tell me, wow, you're a painless dentist, or wow, I've been scared to go to the dentist for years, but you've changed it for me. Okay. Or I've had patients literally who have made appointments and have called from the parking lot and crying in their car saying, I can't get out of the car.
Yeah, I have people that cry from the car too.
You know, that couldn't even come in, eventually made it into my office. Eventually made it into my office and we changed their whole life. You know, we might have done a full transformation for them. Mm-hmm. And then I get that recognition or that, you know, that appreciation from them that makes me feel good. It makes me realize that I'm doing something good that's worthy, that is a value.
Okay.
And that's helping someone.
And reviews.
I mean, not in this day and age, you know? Yeah, reviews is obviously online. Where you get a lot of your recognition. Yeah. I mean, we have a really, our social media is, I'm on top of it. I read my reviews. I'm really big on my Yelp reviews, Google reviews. I read what people have to say. I take things personally if something is not right. I try to fix it if they're not happy.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting. We're two different measures of success, mm-hmm. and not right or wrong. What it's interesting because as you're talking about these things, I'm thinking to myself, how would I answer this question, right? Mm-hmm. And you focus so much on the patient, mm-hmm. so much. It's clear to me, mm-hmm. right? If I were answering the question, I'd be like, I want my colleagues to recognize that I do good dentistry. Right. I want to all of these things, right? And it was just interesting to me that we think differently, but ultimately we achieve the same thing, right?
Right.
But I did notice that you didn't talk so much about, you talked more about the emotional outcome, not necessarily the clinical outcome. And that's interesting because ultimately I think one of the things that people, our profession does need to recognize is that it's really about how the patient perceives us. Is not really whether we have a 50 micron margin or a 100 mm-hmm. micron margin. Mm-hmm. It's really whether the patient, perceives us as being very good.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I think early, I mean, I've been out for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so the first, I would say, 4 to 5 years of my career when I didn't have my own practice and I was working for another doctor, that was important to me, right? Because it was all about, you got out of dental school and everything had to be perfect and your margins and everything was measured to the T. And that's what it was all about. It wasn't about the patient or it wasn't about like, is this painless for you or not?
How do you feel?
You know, how do you feel? Like I'm a good person. I have a good heart. I care about what people think. But at the same time, it was all about the mechanical part of dentistry mm-hmm. early on. And I think
the Instagram part of dentistry.
Yeah. And then once I had my own practice, it changed because then it was my practice. And right. It stands for who I am and what I believe in and how I want people to see me. So then it shifted and by then you're a better dentist, right? You're five years out.
When do you think you became a good dentist?
Right when I bought my practice, probably. It was like 5 years out of school. I had some good early mentors that I worked with that, taught me, even more perfectionism that I needed probably. Sure. But I would say about 5-6 years in terms of dentistry. Yeah, I wasn't at my peak, but
no,
I was
sure. No.
It's
interesting because I thought I was good when a couple of years out of school.
Yeah.
But I didn't really, I didn't see mistakes. I didn't see follow-ups. Right. I didn't see things. I was so limited in my mindset that I didn't think I really hit my stride. And that wasn't my peak. You know, that wasn't, I didn't feel like I hit my stride until about year 5 or 6.
Yeah.
It's interesting you say that.
Like confidence came then.
Yeah.
I wasn't second guessing things. I wasn't thinking about it when I got home. You know, those kinds of things. Or did I do that right? Did I do that wrong? No, I was pretty confident in my ability.
Because you had seen work. I mean, things are going to fail in a couple of three years, typically.
Yeah, and you kind of learn how to troubleshoot things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So, you know, if we were to talk clinically, okay, what would you say clinically you want to be known for? What if I came to your practice, what is it that you like to do the most?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Right now, I mean, I love my CEREC.
Okay.
Anything CEREC related, I'm having a good day.
What are you doing with CEREC? Are you doing single teeth, anterior teeth?
Quadrant. I try to do a lot of quadrant dentistry. Okay, I love doing quadrant.
Yeah,
just because it's a nice outcome. Patients see a nice change from, you know, especially when you're doing like removing old amalgams, you're like fixing a whole quadrant.
Well, productivity
from black
wise,
to white. Yeah.
It's great.
Fun. And I don't want to.
Less patients.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good production. It's fun.
Yeah. How'd you get involved in CEREC?
I got my CEREC, I believe, was it 2010?
Okay, so about 10 years ago.
Yeah, about 10 years.
So that was before OmniCam, that was BlueCam.
BlueCam is when I started. I just had a rep that came by.
They need to make a sale, you need to buy something?
Pretty much, rep, but he came over and that was kind of how I was introduced to it, and I thought, this is awesome. So
how'd you dive deep in CEREC?
Well, so you had the course, you know, you got a free course when you got your CEREC. So I went to CEREC doctors.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of just did 1, 2, 3. I just kind of did them all.
You dove deep.
I mean, it was like all or nothing. That's the thing. Like, if I'm going to do something, it's either all or nothing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just what happened. I love it.
Yeah, that's good.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So, all right. Why don't you share with us something that's going well in your practice, I think, that you think our audience could learn from you, or that you just like to share with them?
Right now, it's kind of tough because of after COVID, but I think that...
what is COVID?
I know. Huh? It's
COVID doesn't exist on the T-Bone Speaks.
I'm really big on systems and following, like, rules. And so for me, coming back after COVID was... having to make new systems for everything was very difficult. Like, I had, everybody had, you know, there were so many changes. I mean, we all had to do that. So I don't know, going well right now. I feel like we're just doing well in general. We're surviving, you know, we're getting used to the changes. Communication has been a big thing in my office that I'm very proud of.
Are you referring to communication within each other or to patients?
With my team.
Okay.
I mean, with our patients, it's always good, but I try to keep a team where we can all get along, where the communication is there, where if there's any issues, we're, because I worked in offices before I had my own practice where, you know, you have a practice with like 10, 15 people together and it gets, when we were talking about this earlier, it gets catty or it gets misconstrued.
That's only when you have 10, 15 women.
Yeah, well, that's what we were talking about, the drama. And so,
you know, Meredith's middle name is drama.
I also don't worry, it's only me and him.
But I think,
like I said, drama. Oh,
God. I think that that's, I do take pride in that in my office.
That you have drama?
No, we have limited.
It's, no, there's no such thing as none.
I'm trying to keep it. I've always had a good team, and I think we work well. And, you know, and it showed when we came back after COVID, everybody was able to kind of come back together and work together. I didn't lose anybody. It's been pretty good. So I don't know if that's really a takeaway, but
no, I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, well, what I take away from that is that you've laid a foundation. Mm-hmm. You've got team members committed when they're going. And look, Chicago isn't, I don't want to say this is going to come across the wrong way, but Chicago, as it pertains to COVID, mm-hmm. Chicago isn't a great area. Okay. Exactly. It has been an area that has been from the very beginning, a large outbreak, a lot of political stuff going on there, a lot of socioeconomic stuff going on there. It's a wonderful city, mm-hmm. one of my favorite big cities.
Yeah.
You know, and the suburbs are a great place to live and work and do all of those things. But if your team hasn't bought into that level of hype where they're like, oh, I don't want to come back, or I don't want to do that. So that speaks volumes to what you've done. And it speaks volumes to how you're communicating with things. So, there's a lot of tips there. I mean,
thanks.
That's important. I mean, look, you know, I had a podcast, I don't know how long ago it was, but the number one product in everybody's practice is people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not implants, it's not veneers, it's not Invisalign, Sure Smile, whatever. It's people. Mm-hmm. You know, the people are the product that you sell, because at the end of the day, you and I sell the same thing.
Right.
Okay. It's people. At the end of the day, we sell, at 3D Dentists, we sell training. Right. There's a lot of places to get training.
Right.
But it's about the people. What we sell are people. I mean, we sell us. Either we're the right personality for you guys, it's the right philosophy, or it's not.
Right.
So the number one product in every practice is people. It's the number one resource that we have. So we've got to invest in people, and clearly you are. And people reinvest and stick around when they love who they're for. And I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but clearly you demand excellence.
Right.
Right. So it's not like you're the easiest person to work with.
No.
Right?
Probably not.
Yeah, right. But listen, I will always argue there's a breed of people. In fact, we've had people that come to our office as team members where they want somebody to give them direction. They want to feel like they're making progress and they don't want the easy street.
Right.
You know, and I think, right. I think, you know, unfortunately it's hard sometimes, but there is a select group of people that are looking for that. And I don't think it's ever anything to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
You know, I think what's important is learning to adjust
to
that
change.
When you're becoming overbearing, and, you know, luckily I have my wife giving me medications for that. So, you know, where do you see yourself 3 to 5 years from now?
So there's definitely a frontier that I haven't taken on yet. And we talked mm-hmm. about this earlier, is I haven't placed an implant yet, which
ever.
Well,
school,
I mean,
residency,
private
practice.
I've taken courses before where I've placed them.
On
but
dummies?
No,
typodons?
Like on pig.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you
like
know,
dead things.
Yeah, dead things.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's just like the one thing. And I thought to myself, if I were to retire early, like let's say I retired in 5 years, I mean, I think 25 years is a long time in dentistry, so I could technically retire.
I'm feeling it. I'm 20 years in.
I am too. So
21 years in,
I'm starting to think to myself, and I'm like, if I were to retire, what would be my regret? And it would be that I didn't get into implants. And I put it off. I always had an excuse.
Yeah.
I always had an excuse. I didn't have my comb beam, or I didn't have this, or I didn't have that, or it was too busy, or my kids are at this age where they need me, and I don't have time to do all this, and I couldn't find an associate to find time to do it. So that would be the thing that I would like to see myself in 3 to 5 years. I'm placing implants. I'm doing the big cases and just doing the fun stuff. And I've got an associate that I like that is doing the stuff I don't want to do anymore.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm, you know, so that's kind of my goal.
Okay. And sleep is going really well in sleep, your office.
Yeah, we're enjoying that. We're really, I want to get more into that. Yeah. And that sleep is important to me too, because I got
more. When we say sleep, we're referring to sleep apnea.
Sleep apnea, yeah. Yeah. That has been kind of like a soft spot for me too, because my daughter, who's 14, she wears an appliance. I diagnosed her when she was very young.
What did you think of Dolphy's lecture today?
I was like, it almost brought me to tears because it was everything that I went through as a parent with her.
Just so our listeners know, Ralph Dolphy, who happens to live here and speaks for Healthy Start, he came in today and did a little talk about getting started with Healthy Start.
And like when my daughter was, she's 14, but when she was younger, I knew about all this stuff, but I didn't know about these particular appliances. Mm-hmm. I wish I had known a little bit more about that.
Been around 50 years. Can you believe that?
When he said that, I was disturbed that I didn't know about it, you know? But, so that's why I do enjoy sleep, because I do take it to heart, and I really want to help people that need it. Yeah. And the kids, it's amazing the stuff that you can do now for kids too.
Yeah, so that's pretty amazing. So 3 to 5 years, you want to be placing implants.
Yes.
You know, we're going to make that happen in less than 3 to 5
years.
Yes,
100%.
But Big Will, you're taking, and thank you, by the way, for supporting my kids. Thank you. My kids, thank you. My golf membership, thank you.
Well, I'm excited to at least have an excuse to get out of Chicago. And
come visit.
You're going to love it.
The live
patient program is phenomenal. We're going to push you a little bit, and we're going to support you to make sure that we get started.
I'm super excited.
So let's talk about that, okay? So I take it to heart when people come through and they want to say, hey, I want to do implants. Mm-hmm. And I have some fears internally for you.
Okay.
You know, of my own, not for you, but, you know,
he gets
me.
Emotional for everyone. He just wants you to be successful.
Right. You know, selfishly, I want to be successful, right?
Right.
I don't want anybody to take any of our programs and not go back and do it. But the reality is some do.
Sure.
And so in a brief conversation with you today, you're busy.
Yes.
Okay. You know, and I think the busyness gets in the way of these advanced procedures. In 100%. Fact, being busy for 20 years is the reason you haven't done it yet.
It's 100% true.
You know, you've been trying to take the program for a year. Busyness is what's taken you a year to get finally registered, right?
Yes.
You know, and so I worry about that for you, because some of the goals that you want for 3 to 5 years from now require, honestly, they're all dependent on you.
Time, time too.
Well, he's going to depend one thing. He's going to force you between weekends 1 and 3. Mm-hmm. He makes everyone schedule their first 5 patients.
5?
Yeah.
So when you come in March, you'll have to schedule your patients for the week you get back in April.
Yeah. So what we do is between the two live weekends, what we'll ask, and so you know in advance, is we'll ask you to find 5 patients.
Okay.
Whether they're free, I don't care. I mean, there's no excuse for not finding 5 patients, okay? And our ask is, because we can do free implants.
Of course, okay? Discounted. Of course. Full price, insurance only.
I already know who I'm going to
have. You're brown.
I already know who I'm going to
have. No, I think most people
have. Listen to this podcast. Oh, she's offering free implants. I'm coming.
The embarrassing part is I have patients in my practice who I've been telling for years that, they're like, have you done it yet? Like, they stop
asking. And they want you. Well, they don't want to go to other people. It's like, they trust you.
It's time.
So he makes you schedule these so that when you get back, there's no excuse like, well, I don't have time.
Right.
It's like, oh, no, you've already got those scheduled.
I'm going to ask you to pre-block.
Okay.
So what's the second weekend? April something?
Yeah.
Let's pretend the second weekend ends April 25th. Okay. So then you're going to be back at work on the 27th.
Okay.
That week, you're going to block 2 hours each day for 1 implant a day for the whole week.
Okay.
So that's our commitment. And when you leave that weekend from us, you will have you'll bring all your patient data with you. We will plan your implants together. So that way we're overseeing it. We'll design your guides. We'll print your guides. We'll give you everything that you need so that you have everything ready for those patients.
Nice. And then you don't lose your momentum.
Yeah. Okay. And that way you get the momentum, your team gets the momentum. And it's really important to win right away. One of the challenges with sleep is you don't win right away.
Yeah.
You know, one of the challenges with cosmetic classes that you take, you don't win right away.
Right.
Yeah. You know, or full mouth rehabs, you don't go back and have one the next week.
Right.
So one of the benefits of the multi-weekend programs is we'll go ahead and commit that we need these 5 2-hour blocks to place these implants.
And it's such a fun week because everybody's doing their implants and everybody's sending them and comparing x-rays. And it's just like such a fun week for everybody.
I'm really excited about it.
Because everyone's cheering you on. So.
And then you'll do the 4 or 5 implants while you're here that weekend and you'll be ready.
Okay.
You know, you're going to be ready. So
I'm really ready. I am. Yeah.
So let's talk about this associate.
Okay.
Okay. The non-existent.
We're gonna go there.
Yeah, of course.
Yep.
Because you mentioned, you said my
goal. Yeah, that's what's going to give you the time.
Well, I heard a couple of things at dinner today. Okay. Or maybe this was before dinner.
Yes.
That you mentioned that you're feeling bored.
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
You even used the B-U-R-N word. Okay. The burnout word.
Yes.
Okay. So, and then we talked a little bit about associates, you know, my struggles, which are some of the similar struggles that you probably have mentally.
Yes.
So, you know, we have to, there's no perfect time. It's like having a kid. You didn't plan to have your kids, I assume. Yeah. They kind of just happened, right? Yeah. And so, I think you have to start setting the stage now.
I think you're right.
You know, and I think part of winning at the game of associates is the first step, and it took my wife to work with me on this, is to recognize they're not going to be you. You know, because if they were you, they'd own their own practice.
Right, right.
You know, so you
get you also don't want to, we can't deal with two of you.
No, but let's take the personality, but it's not the person. No, you're right, you're right. You know, but not even the personality part of it, it's our level of commitment and drive.
Right, and you know, speed and efficiency and what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, you have to. You're going to have to. It was. It's been very hard for me, okay. And so I know it's going to be hard for you.
Yeah.
Because we're built very similar in that sense.
Yeah.
So you have to do that, and you know, the things that you want to do, the more fun things, you know, things that you like to do, those don't exist without somebody else to do the dentistry that we have to do.
I agree.
Right. So they kind of go hand in hand to a certain degree. So one of the advantages that some of these younger dentists have is that they're doing this early in their career where they're not booked. They don't have 20 years of patients that say, why can't you suddenly do my filling? So why can't you do my crown? You know, they have the freedom and the free time in their practice and their schedules to go ahead and implement some of these more advanced procedures, whereas what we're trying to do is we're trying to take a busy practice and now squeeze one more thing in. And so you're trying to squeeze sleep in, you're trying to squeeze implants in into an already, you know, unfortunately, I heard that you have 3 hygienists. Well, that sounds horrible. Not because they're hygienists, but three hygienists at one time is
those days are.
Yeah. So, imagine the stress of doing implants that day.
Yeah.
Or diagnosing implants and then having to go back. So the real success from doing, my key to my success has been making sure that I'm finding a way to slow down. Not my practice, but I'm finding a way to slow down to create the margin or the room to be able to put these procedures into place.
Yeah.
So I think for you to hit some of these 3 to 5 year goals, you're definitely going to have to change your mindset.
Absolutely.
From experience, you know, unless you get like Lindsay and get lucky to find somebody great
right
off the bat. Right. And, you know, I can just tell you percentage wise, it doesn't exist.
No. And then we talked about that earlier, as I had 2 that I went through that it just didn't work well. It's not that it didn't work well. It's just, you know, personality, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I just got discouraged.
Yeah. Don't get
frustrated. Well, you know.
Well, look, you said some key things. You said, what if I retire early? So that means you've contemplated it.
Yes.
Right.
And well, part of the reason why I can't see myself doing it is because I don't have an associate to even give myself a little bit of free time.
Right. And so it's important.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize this until recently. My goal for dentistry is for no dentist to practice alone. I think there's no reason and there's no way in today's modern dentistry. Listen, today's dentistry is fancy chairs, cone beam, CAD cam, technology. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of money.
A
lot of money. You know, and now it's expensive retail locations. Mm-hmm. You know, to get the visibility.
Right.
You know, the cost of doing dentistry has gone up.
Yes.
And so to mortgage or to divide that up by 1 versus 2, you know, it doesn't make sense anymore.
Right.
And so whether that's a business partner where you have equity ownership, whether that's an associate, I don't want any dentist to practice alone anymore because it doesn't make sense. So that's my goal for dentistry. And I think, I don't think you need to double your practice to bring an associate. And I think you're ready now.
Yeah.
Because you have a skill set to do more of the dentistry you like, mm-hmm. and you'll be as productive mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yeah. I agree.
All right, last couple of questions.
Sure.
What is something that you're struggling with? What's a struggle or challenge right now for you that you're willing to share with people?
The associate.
The associate's a big one. I have a couple, but I'm trying to think which one I want to share.
Just let it out.
No, honestly, I think what you mentioned earlier, the whole burnout fatigue thing has really, and I don't know if COVID made it worse, but.
You liked that resort life?
I'm tired and I'm feeling the burnout, but I think it's because I'm bored and I need to find something that's going to excite me again.
Yeah.
And that in combination with I'm a highly PPO driven mm-hmm. office and I want to start and I want to I feel like I need to maybe drop insurance. There's just a couple things that are kind of adding to the mix for me.
You know, we're on parallel paths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, I was bored.
Yeah.
We're a high PPO practice.
Yeah.
And you know, there's two ways to look at it. Okay. You can drop PPOs. Okay, but you're likely going to be solo.
Well, that's the thing. I don't want to drop them if I bring an associate in, right. Like, because I want the associate, you know, so.
So, you know, what I'm saying is yeah. Look, I could totally drop insurance today.
Yeah.
But I'll be by myself.
Yeah.
And then it's gonna curtail my flexibility that I want.
Yeah.
And so I'm not a big fan of you dropping insurance because I'm making the assumption that even with these PPOs, you're doing good. You're making good income, you know, you're supporting your lifestyle, all these things, okay? Yes. So why would we give that away?
And that's what I think, too. But then there's, you know, this goes back to the whole I need an associate because we're just so busy. We're booked mm-hmm. out so far and it's just me. And it's, you know, I get tired of hearing, like, Doc, we don't have any openings and we, you know, you need to add another day or we need to figure something out.
Why is it always we got to add days?
Yeah, it is.
Why can't it be, can't we just get the patients to wait?
The biggest thing is like, well, we don't work Saturdays and we don't work Mondays. And I'm, you know, because I've always worked Tuesday through Thursday.
Yeah.
And then I would work long days, but after COVID, we came back and kind of shortened it. It didn't make any difference on production.
Right.
And then I was supposed to work two Fridays a month, which turned into like
every Friday.
Yeah. And now they're slowly, you know, we're slowly talking about, well, do we need to add a Monday? Do we need to add? So, well, it's not going to be me. I can't physically do that many days.
You can, you know? But you don't want to.
I don't want to.
You can't mentally do it.
No, mentally. Yeah.
You can physically
not. Right.
Do it. You're in good shape. Yeah. You can physically do it. I can't physically do it, okay?
So, yeah, so that's just, I mean, it's just a struggle. And that's where the whole associate
Do you ever get up and say, I opened and funded and built this practice to be what I want, and it's not what I, it's
for
not.
For other people to tell me what to
do?
Yeah,
yeah, pretty
like,
much.
Because I mean, what you just said, I've gone through.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
I feel like I'm losing control of my mm-hmm. own practice a little bit.
But we allow that to happen.
Yeah, it's like become this. It's a great practice, and it's become this like machine, and it's amazing. It can like it's a great
can run itself.
Yeah,
you've built it that way.
I can describe.
But now
exactly.
You're losing
lost control.
We're reading your mind.
Well, let me tell you what happens, okay? Because I went through this in 2012, 11,
really?
12, okay?
Okay.
We were 16 members.
Okay.
5-16 members back then.
Okay.
Okay. What year did you start? 2014, 15?
January of 2015.
Yeah, so.
There were six of us. I was the sixth.
You were number six. Okay.
And so I didn't really count. I was an intern.
Yeah, you didn't count. You weren't on the books.
I was five and a half. Yeah.
So about 2011, 2012, we were 5 team members, okay? And then we got a sixth one, or then we got a seventh one. And then I was like, why am I by myself having 7 team members? And then I feel this, you start feeling this, my God, I got to work to feed the people. And it's not like I don't like them, okay?
Right.
And then we get busy because we get more people, we see more patients, and we get busier. And then when we get busier, like, oh, I need another hygienist. And then next thing you know, you're ninth, you're the eighth person. And then you're just like, dude, this is not what I signed up for.
No, that's exactly what's going on.
So I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer.
Right.
Okay. But what I am saying is you got to, we it's not you, okay, we have to look in the mirror because you own it, right? You decide. It's your practice.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like I tell you this all the time. He's like, they're telling me I have to do this and I have to do this. I'm like, your name is on the door.
Right? But we're going through this in different time periods, okay? Mm-hmm. So I went through a period of about 3 or 4 years where it's great. Okay, and then now I'm at a point where because, you know, I'm at a point now where I'm scheduled 15 hours a week. So I work 10 to 4, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay. That's what I'm scheduled.
Right, well, okay? Yeah.
That's what I'm scheduled, yeah. Right?
It ends up being much
No, of course, but yeah. What if I was scheduled 25 hours a week?
No,
much more, right? Yes. So at some point, what you have to do is you have to say, this is what I'm willing to minimum absolutely commit to. And no, you're going to have to give a little bit more. Yeah. See, the problem is you gave a little bit more and you give a little bit more. So at some point, you got to cut.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or you got to add.
Yeah.
And I think we got to add providers.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, we got to add providers to get there.
Because I don't want to give up what I've built.
No.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
So I don't think dropping the insurance is the answer. I think you should drop insurance.
Yes.
But your practice should not.
But my practice should not. That's.
Yeah.
And I think that was, you know, that would be my ultimate goal because I don't want to lose the reputation that I have. And I don't want to lose, you know, the people calling and wanting to get in. I love that. I love knowing people want to come in and see.
Because you're treating them so good.
Yeah, it's a privilege. It's a good feeling. Like, I feel like I've accomplished something that, hey, you know, people are willing to wait a little bit right now to see me. But at the same time, I feel bad. Like, I don't want them to have to wait that long. And then the other thing that scares me about the associate thing is, you know, will patients want to see an associate?
Sure. Or do they? Some will, some won't.
Right. And so what then there's that whole thing. And so, but it's all part of the process.
It's
really your team when they say, oh, he's great or she's great.
Yeah.
The patients are like, oh, well, she's been there forever. So if they trust her, then I trust him, you know?
Good point. Yeah, that's true.
You know, and there's some patients that won't. But here's the great news. They'll pay you your fee now.
Yeah. That's true.
You know? Oh, and or they'll say, oh, no, I only want to see Dr. Tajani. And you're like, okay, well, she's out of network, but our associate, I'll see the associate.
Yeah. There you go.
Funny how that works.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm finding now. So my goal is to be outside of all insurance plans, outside of Blue Cross Blue Shield, because I'm in the medical network for the amount of sleep that we do.
Sure.
So I have to.
Okay.
So my goal personally is for me to be out of all the networks.
But that's just this year. So that's 20 years in for people listening.
And it took me 4 or 5 years to get comfortable with it mentally. And it's been more mental comfort than financial comfort.
Yeah. I think you started to drop one by one.
One by one.
Do you feel ago? Like after you dropped your first one, like it just became easier for you to come
Yeah, you know, well, like I was so scared because the first one I dropped was 25% of our practice was MetLife.
Well, so that's the thing.
Yeah, I dropped MetLife.
The first one I suggested to my office manager, she's like, no. She's like, that's like half our patients. I'm like, it's not half of our patients, but I mean, it's a big, you know, so that's the scary part.
Yeah.
So.
But I want to encourage you not to drop any of them.
Until I have an associate.
Again, that's my very biased. I hate giving advice like this, but that's my very biased view of this.
Well, that's what I thought in my head. Yeah. That's what my...
It worked out really well because he dropped MetLife. Patients called, said, do you accept MetLife? Yes, we accept MetLife. Okay, I want to come in as a patient. They want implants. Oh, well, I thought you were in network. Yes, our office is in network.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into Full Arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
And I'll do implants for the MetLife fee.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm happy to.
Right. It's
like it's almost the closest to my fee anyway. Yeah.
You know? But then they'll do their general dentistry with the associate.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and so I don't think it's one thing if you're doing a PPO practice and you're barely making money.
Yeah.
Then that's a different situation.
Sure. Sure.
But I'm making assumptions here, okay? Because you haven't complained about money yet.
No. You know,
most people don't come on podcasts and complain about it.
Right? Usually just no. My complaint is fatigue.
Right. But see, what I found is I've made a great living being a PPO dentist.
I know.
More than I've ever believed I've deserved, right?
Yeah.
So why would I give it away? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I know.
So it's one thing if you're taking a lot of HMOs and you're taking, those plans that don't pay well, then you got to drop those all together. But you know, I will tell you to get where you want to get to, you're going to have to change your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's going to be hard for you, but you're going to have to.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to have to bring somebody else in, or you're going to have to make the decision that I'm going to be alone. And there's nothing really wrong with that. Just know that there's goods and bads that come with that.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to have to learn to say no to patients. You know, that's going to be the hardest thing. That's the hardest thing for me right now is still to say no. Somebody, you know, somebody needs a root canal crown and we're like, we can't see them for 6 weeks. I'm like, I'll just come in Thursday and do that.
I do that every week. I do that at least once. Yeah. At least once.
You know, but see, what I found is, and my wife is so good at this, there's a hard and fast rule with her.
Yeah.
Like, I'm leaving at 12 and I'm done.
Yeah.
And what happens is I've set the tone that he'll be available.
Yeah. I think I've done the same thing.
You know, and so that means that...
And she just won't answer her phone.
My wife just... No,
she's like, I'm busy.
Yeah.
But so the interesting thing is I've tried to do that a couple of times where I'm like, you know, I'm going to be more assertive about saying no. Like, I need to start doing this for myself.
Yeah.
And the few times I did it, it felt really good.
Or she'll FaceTime so close that you can only see her face, so you can't see where she's at.
It's a gift to be able to do that.
Yeah.
It's not easy for...
Like, but really she's built it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't that way forever.
Yeah. That's a great...
So those... But we have to, okay? Because here's where we're walking down the road where we'll walk away too early because it's not our practice anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it is our practice.
And you guys are young.
And your team members just do what you let them do.
Yeah.
And they don't do it. They don't do it out of malice at all.
No.
Because they love you. My team members love me.
They want. No, they're doing it because they want to make more. They want the production.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want the money.
Well,
you know?
they're feeding into the image of the practice, and they want it to do well. They don't want to work somewhere where it's not a great
place
to be.
Proud.
Yeah. They want to be proud of where they're at. So.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to end our interview. I got my little deck here.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to get a little shuffle going here.
This is new.
We've done it a couple of times. Yeah. So it's called Pod Decks. It's an interview deck. This is the second edition, poddecks.com. Okay. They're not a sponsor or anything.
Okay.
I paid for these.
We don't have sponsors.
We do. You see.
No, we are sponsored by 3D Dentists. If you have not been down to Raleigh to our training center, we would love you to come visit.
So let's pick.
That was good.
Let's pick three cards.
And that is our
And then
only
don't
sponsor.
Look at them. Give them to me.
Okay. This one, two. There you go.
Perfect. All right. I'm going to ask you three random questions here. Oof, interesting question.
Here we go.
We haven't even heard most of them.
What makes you feel old?
Oh.
I just said you guys were young. I literally just said that.
I'll just show you.
Okay.
These gray hairs. Right
These gray hairs. You know, there's
That's
stuff.
Fine. You can cover those up. That
Dude, Mona, I learned how to do that.
Yeah.
I did it live. She never let me do it again.
And then I did it.
So gray hairs make you feel old. Absolutely. Good news is we can fix it. Either you can shave all, you can be like me and shave
T-Bone
all your
hair. T-Bone can fix it.
Listen, I'm happy to
you
do
would
it right
think
now.
He would be good at that, right? Know, like, right? As like precise and...
Oh, this is an interesting one. What's something weird that you recommend everyone tries at least once?
Ooh.
I think we should make people say the first thing that comes to their mind.
I don't know if this is weird, but it's like one of my favorite things is ketchup sandwiches.
Ketchup sandwiches.
Yes.
You're so Indian. It's ridiculous. Why don't you say Maggie's ketchup?
No, it's not Maggie, just Heinz.
Just ketchup and bread?
Ketchup and white bread.
Nothing
Wonder,
else?
Wonder white bread.
How much ketchup do you put on the sandwich? Like peanut butter? So it's like peanut butter sandwich.
No, it's ketchup. It soaks into the bread a little bit.
It's really good.
I used to make mayonnaise sandwiches growing up.
I ate peanut butter sandwiches growing up.
I used to have mayonnaise and cheese sandwiches.
And that's why wore those husky jeans.
Well, there's many reasons I wore husky jeans.
That's so funny.
Oh, speaking of sandwiches. This is going to a Chicagoan too. Is a hot dog a sandwich and why?
A hot dog is a sandwich because it's in between two pieces of bread.
What's your favorite? Do you like Chicago hot dogs?
Absolutely.
Chicago style. Do you eat meat?
Absolutely everything. As long as it's dead.
As long as it's dead. What's your favorite Chicago hot dog?
Chicago style.
So what does that mean?
It's got tomato, onion, green lettuce, relish, and sport peppers and tomatoes. Wow. Pretty much everything.
Awesome. That sounds like a sausage. Stuff. Like, and that's it's like an Italian sausage, like not
the,
a hot dog.
I like the really bright green fake relish. Like we were talking about the fake pistachios.
Heinz relish.
Yeah. Bright green, it's like fluorescent.
Next thing you know, she's going to be eating relish sandwiches.
Dimple, how can people get in touch with you? What's your email address?
It's my first name, Dimple.
D-I-M-P-L-E.
Yep. DDS at Yahoo.
You know, Yahoo is way out of style.
I know.
Just so you know.
I know, but I...
You know, the modern people have it.
I have a Gmail.
Gmail.
I do have a Gmail, but I just
But
don't
just what you use. It. I know. Yeah. It's fine.
It's there. It's there for all my junk email stuff.
The Yahoo email.
No, my Gmail is.
I just want to know where to sell the bill to. You know? And what social media stuff are you on?
So I am on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat.
What's your Instagram? Don't tell people your Snapchat. That might get bad.
Yeah, no. My personal one is Dimps, D-I-M-P-S, 121.
Okay.
And then the Heights Dental Gallery is my office, which I use more. The office one. More.
So everyone, give her a follow on Instagram.
So what are those dating app ones? That you're not on any of those?
No, Tinder? No dating. No,
Tinder,
apps.
Bumblebee.
Yeah, we're no.
What's the other ones? Brazzers.
No, I don't think
there's
so
many of them.
Beardedman.com, Farmers Only. Not any of those.
No.
Jews Only.
They have ones where like.
You know, me and Mona.
Uniforms, too.
Yeah. Me and Mona met on IndianDating.com.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Back in 1999, before it was popular.
Where he could have killed her and put her on Dateline.
Right.
Oh, my God. In that regard, thank you, Dimple, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was easier than you expected. To you guys. It was. It was great.
Please help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes and Spotify, sharing this on social media, and supporting 3D Dentists. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.